and what we can do to help them and make their life better. Nancy Farnham is here. Aline Fortgang is here. We are going to take a short time out here. We were running my March into April Easter tip. Please don't bring home those bunnies, chicks, and ducklings. And then when we continue, we will welcome Catherine Doyle, an elephant expert with In Defense of Animals. And they're the ones, of course, that are suing the Woodland Park over the insemination.
So yes, we're going to find out. Complaint.
Yeah, they filed a complaint. And so we'll find out more about that, but also just all kinds of more information in general about elephants in captivity. So stay with us. Animal World continues. In Defense of Animals is next, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with March into April's Animal World Tip of the Month. Besides April showers, what comes to mind most prominently in April is Easter. And then the kid part of me starts thinking about Easter bunnies. Now, not to mention chicks and ducklings. Now, I don't mean the candy versions. I'm talking about the real thing. Every Easter, many families get caught up in the energy and bring home real live baby bunnies, chicks, or ducklings. Now, even though all of those little creatures can make wonderful human companions, most of us don't have a clue as to how to make that happen. Consistently, many bunnies, chicks, and ducklings end up either dead or dumped. Remember the tragic dump rabbit overpopulation problem a few years ago in Redmond? Or they end up in animal rescue shelters. I'd like you to help us prevent that from happening again this year by not being part of the problem. Please fight the urge to delight your children with baby animals this Easter. Maybe it's the kid part of you that's always wanted one. But please, please, please do your homework before you go out and buy a baby bunny. And be prepared to raise a house rabbit. That's right, I said a house rabbit. In my opinion, rabbits don't belong in cages outside 24/7. But they can make excellent in-house companions. They house train to a litter box just like a cat. And sometimes are better pet for some people than a dog or a cat. But you need to know what you're doing to have it work. There are some great resources around here if you want to learn more. The House Rabbit Society, Evergreen Rabbit Rescue, the best little rabbit, rodent, and ferret house in the Lake City area of Seattle, the Humane Society in Bellevue, and the Seattle Animal Shelter on Elliott Avenue in Seattle. You might even want to consider adopting a rescued model, but keep in mind most rescues and shelters will not adopt out rabbits close to the Easter holiday for obvious reasons. So if you want to get a live Easter bunny, do some homework first. Learn how to create a great in-house environment for your rabbit friend, and please do your best to make a lifetime commitment. And with a rabbit, that's about 10 years. Surprisingly, chickens and ducks can also, under select circumstances, make good human companions, but not in the city, and they're not great in-house only pets. If you're considering ducks or chickens, remember they need very secure housing, and they tend to attract coyote and cougar to your area. So, all things considered, unless you're an exception to the norm, bring home the stuffed and candy versions of the Easter bunnies, chicks, and ducklings, and we'll all have a better Easter this year. You'll hear this tip repeated throughout the month until Easter, and be sure to stay tuned to Animal World, because if you didn't get convinced with this tip, hearing my family's sad Easter bunny story may convince you. And I'll share that with you soon on an upcoming Animal World.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners. Award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
When the red, red robin comes bop, bop, bopping along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our first spring edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, before we get back to the elephants, just want to let you know that we will be doing the Robin Alexis Soul Spa giveaway in this hour. Probably won't happen until we take our commercial break later in the hour, but I'm going to give you phone numbers so you can jot them down and let you know that we will be giving away a free one-year subscription to Robin Alexis's Soul Spa on her website, which is a $300 value. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal thing. If the energy portals, the meditations that we do, the support from Robin, you get her free books, you get reduced price on her one-on-one sessions, and just all kinds of perks. It's wonderful. So in order to qualify to win this free one-year subscription, you must be a new member to the Soul Spa. But you must have already gone to the website, robinalexis.com. We need to know you can navigate the website. You need to, at the very least, sign up for the free membership for the newsletter on the website. Or you can sign up for the free one-month trial subscription to the Soul Spa. But whatever you do, as long as you're a new member, you need to have your username and password in order to qualify to win the Soul Spa giveaway. I'm telling you that now so you have time to go and do that on robinalexis.com so that when we're ready to give away the free subscription, you will be able to call in. So I'm going to give you phone numbers now. Jot these down. You might want to, you don't call for the Soul Spa giveaway until I tell you it's time. But if you have a question or comment about the elephants, you certainly can call and chat with Sandy off the air. Let her know what's on your mind. She can pass that on to us. And who knows, we could bring you on the air at some point. At any rate, local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. And if you're outside of our local area, the toll-free number doesn't cost you anything. 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. And if you're waiting for the Soul Spa giveaway, just hold on. I'll let you know when it's time to call in. If you've got a question or comment about the elephants, you can call and tell Sandy. She'll pass it on to us. Or you can email us anytime during the show to our live email address, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. All right. Now, in the studio with Gary and Sandy and I is Aline Fortgang. She is the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. And did I get that right?
Yeah. Okay. Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants were a campaign of NARN.
And which is Northwest Animal Rights Network. And your basic goal is to make life better for these animals, for these
our
elephants?
Our basic goal is what we're working towards is getting the elephants out of the zoo and into the 2,700-acre elephant sanctuary in Tennessee's subtropical climate.
Which would be, that would be a lot more compatible with their natural habitat,
yeah. Ten-month growing season, long, humid summers, tropical rains and washes filling up with water for them to play in, 25-acre lake. It is.
And you said, we're talking 2,700 acres?
That's the whole sanctuary, but actually it's 2,200 acres for Asian elephants and 300 acres for African.
Oh, so they have them split.
Yes,
that's interesting.
Well, in nature, they would never encounter each other.
True. Africa and Asia are like two different continents.
Yeah.
So we will be finding out a lot more about the sanctuary in the 11 o'clock hour. Also, right now, we are joined by Nancy Farnham, a registered nurse, who began the Free Bamboo campaign and has been working for elephant rights for more than 5 years. Nancy, you still with us?
I am with you.
All right.
I would just like to say that I'm the director of the Sound Animal Rights Alliance.
Ah, that's right.
A new organization. But Aline and I still work together on behalf of the elephants.
So director of, what did you call it again?
The Sound Animal Rights Alliance, or SARA.
Sound Animal Rights Alliance. And what is that organization?
Well, it's a brand new organization. I've always wanted to start my own organization, and I finally had the chance to do so. And we just are focusing on the elephant campaign right now, but potentially we're open to campaigns for other animals as well.
All right. Well, we'll need to talk to you not in today's show, but more about the Sound Animal Rights Organization. And just, Nancy, so you know, the last Sunday of every month is Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday here on Animal World. And all we do on the last Sunday of the month is interview shelters and rescues and groups like that. Now, this next Sunday, we will check in with all our regular shelters and rescues, but our rotating slot we will be joined by Robin Alexis from Mystic Radio, who is a very gifted psychic and medium. And then with Robin and Sandy and I, we have a good time talking to the animals, because we all engage in interspecies telepathic and empathetic communication. And next week we're going to follow up on our animal show here, and we will be talking to Chai and Bamboo and Watoto. Find out how they feel about moving to the sanctuary and all of that good stuff. But at any rate, Nancy, we ought to feature you on the last Sunday of the month sometime coming up. So keep that in mind and remind me if I forget. All right, so we've got Nancy on the line. We've got Aline in the studio. And now we're going to be joined by Catherine Doyle. She is an elephant expert with In Defense of Animals, which is a national animal watchdog organization. And boy, I've been following them for a number of years, and they do, some really, really good work.
They sure do.
So without further ado, welcome to Animal World, Catherine Doyle. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, thanks for joining us. I appreciate that. Now, In Defense of Animals, I'm trying to remember which organization is which. And so tell us a little bit about In Defense of Animals.
Well, In Defense of Animals was established back in the 1980s, and it is an international animal protection organization that covers a variety of issues, and also we have sanctuaries in various regions of the world, including in the United States, in the South, and then also we're doing work in India. And then also there is a chimpanzee orphanage in Cameroon, Africa, and also there we're very involved in fighting the bushmeat industry.
And I'm thinking about the founder of In Defense of Animals.
Dr. Elliot Katz is the founder, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
And
he's a veterinarian who established the organization and is our leader.
All right. And so now we're calling you an elephant expert, but do you have another title other than that?
Well, I'm director of the Elephant Campaign for In Defense of Animals. And I would say captive elephant specialist would be more accurate.
Captive animal specialist.
Right.
That's
captive elephant, right.
And how long have you been doing this work?
Actually, working specifically just on elephants for 7 years now.
Wow.
And that's my sole focus is elephants, yeah.
So, and you're primarily focusing on animals, or on elephants in captivity in the United States?
Yeah, primarily. Well, I'd say the U.S. and Canada. And basically, you know, in defense of animals, we care very deeply about elephants. And we're extremely alarmed that they're suffering and dying prematurely in zoos, as we've seen in Seattle and elsewhere.
All right. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on that?
Okay. Well, as far as keeping elephants in zoos, I don't know how much has been talked about already, but, you know, basically it's inadequate zoo conditions are causing a host of health problems with elephants that are, you know, captivity caused. And these include, you know, foot disease and arthritis, infertility, birth complications, obesity, and abnormal behaviors such as aggression and the repetitive rocking and swaying that you see at Woodland Park Zoo and at many, many zoos.
Do you know off the top of your head how many zoos in this country have elephants?
Yeah, 74 zoos.
74 zoos. Now,
U.S. and Canada.
U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are there any zoos in the U.S. and Canada that have adequate habitat for elephants?
Well, I guess it depends on how you would define adequate habitat, but there are a couple of zoos that I would say are doing a much better job with their elephants and by providing them more space than is standard. Also, that they work very hard for their elephants. For example, Oakland Zoo in California, the Oakland Zoo is a model, I would say, for other zoos. They have about 6 acres for their elephants. And but I, like I said, I mean, personally, I don't believe that's still enough space for elephants. I think really, truly, the sanctuaries are setting the standard for the care of elephants in captivity. And that's by providing the space, larger social groups, you know, the ability, you know, the elephants have the option, you know, they have choices there. They can choose their, you know, their social companions. They can choose, you know, what they want to do that day. They can actually, they can forage for, you know, natural vegetation. But as far as zoos go, I would say Oakland Zoo works very hard for their elephants. They work very hard to keep them both mentally and physically stimulated. And it's certainly, I would say, one of the better zoos also, you know, for elephants. Also, North Carolina Zoo is another zoo that we think is doing, you know, a better job.
And how much space do they
have?
Down
Pike, Dallas. Hmm?
Yeah, the North Carolina Zoo, how much space do they have for their elephants?
It's about 7 acres right now, but they're still split. They're having some issues with integrating their elephants. And right now, I believe that's split into two different yards.
Okay. And then you said that you mentioned a third one that is...
Yeah. And then coming down the pike is Dallas Zoo is building an exhibit that's going to give the elephants more than 5 acres. But also what we find very important there is the fact that what they've been doing is bringing in older and post-reproductive elephants, but also elephants who've come from worse situations, who come from private individuals, another individual who's using them for circuses and, you know, and elephant rides and that. And those were elephants that really needed help. They needed to get out of those situations. And so they were able, you know, to bring them in there.
So it's improving the lives of those elephants, even though it's a zoo situation.
Exactly, yeah.
And then,
and they are committed to, from what we understand, they're committed to, you know, they're not going to be breeding elephants there, nor will they be importing elephants. So.
Sort of the zoo sanctuary model that I was talking about
okay.
earlier.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So that's so you've mentioned three zoos that are doing a better job than most.
Right.
And the consistency seems to be, you talked about a minimum of 5 acres, I think a maximum of 7 acres. So it sounds like, and to do a minimally adequate job with elephants in zoos, we're saying you're describing at least a 5 to 7 acre area.
Yeah.
And then with that Texas that you're talking about, they're not breeding. Well, they're taking animals from worse elephants from worse situations,
Dallas,
like zoos or private things, into the zoo situation, which is better for them, and they're not breeding.
Right. That's Dallas, though. North Carolina Zoo is interested in breeding, and I believe Oakland has talked about breeding at some point. But you know what, too, and also I did forget there's one other extremely important aspect that all three of those zoos share.
Yeah.
And that is the way that the elephants are trained and managed, because they do not use what we call circus-style training, which is use of dominance and physical punishment and fear to control the elephants. Mm-hmm. And that's usually done through use of the bull hook, and the bull hook is a device that's similar to a fireplace poker. It has a point at the end, you know, metal point, has the hook, and it is used to prod, stab, hook, and sometimes beat the elephants into compliance.
Oh.
And that is something that we would like to see, even if you're talking about trying to make elephants' lives better in zoos, mm-hmm. something very simple and basic, that the first thing that needs to be done is to get those bull hooks out of every single zoo. About half of zoos are using bull hooks right now, and it needs to end.
Certainly does. Certainly
yeah.
does.
I'd like to add that Woodland Park Zoo doesn't. They have.
Yeah, they don't, right. They're protected.
They use protective contact, which means there's always a barrier between the keeper and the elephants. And some have said that that breaks a bond between the human and the elephant, but in the end, it prevents the elephant from being beaten. So there is an advantage.
Yeah, but it prevents the human from being squished as well, or whatever. But
oh yeah, much safer for keepers, definitely.
Yeah. So we've talked about at least the zoos in the country that have a minimally adequate environment for the elephants. It's certainly much different than what we've got going on. And how do these other zoos that you describe as doing a good job with the elephants, how do they compare, or a better job? And I guess I'm kind of settling with that minimally adequate description.
And that's part of the, you know, that is part of the problem, is that every, you know, that in the zoo industry in particular, you know, there are elephant standards, and there are minimum standards. And that's, you know, that's one thing we've often talked about is, you know, why is everyone always talking about the minimal standards? We need to be looking at optimums for these animals in order to ensure their health and welfare.
Yeah, that's
I agree, and I think it's important to point out that the sanctuaries are trying to set a gold standard, not a minimum standard.
Yeah, well, we'll get to the comparison of zoos versus sanctuaries here in a moment. But, Carolyn, if you would kind of compare, you know, how does our Woodland Park Zoo stack up in terms of caring for the habitat and care of the elephants?
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, really, this is an issue of conditions and not care. I mean, in some cases, you know, obviously if there's a lack of care, yeah, that's an issue. But really, in general, what you're talking about in zoos, it is the conditions versus care. You can give, you know, the elephants at Woodland Park Zoo are about an acre of space. And, you know, you can give them all the care in the world, all the veterinary treatments, the daily husbandry, you know, work on their feet. But you know what? It can't compensate for the inadequate conditions there, which is why they're continuing to have problems. It's why the elephants have foot problems to begin with, they have arthritis.
All right, Carolyn, let me ask you this. My gut feel on this, and I've said this on the air before, I think, and Sandy and I have both talked about this, that we've had a lot of interaction with the folks at Woodland Park. We've even had them on the air in the studio with us here.
Right.
And it seems to us that these folks are all good people.
Right.
Their hearts are in the right place. They're well-educated and knowledgeable. They love the elephants. They're doing absolutely the best job that they can do with what they have to care for these elephants. But my gut feeling and the way I feel about it is that it doesn't matter what they do. The bottom line is they can never do a good enough job because these elephants don't have enough space.
Right.
Elephants need to move and walk and go. And so no matter what kind of quality of care and compassion is going on at Woodland Park, they can never give the elephants enough space. Is that true?
Well, that's why I say it's an issue of conditions and not care, because it's just exactly what you're saying. All the care in the world can't compensate for those conditions, and that's why unless you take those elephants out of the environment that has caused the problems to begin with, you're going to continue to have those problems no matter what you do.
I'd like to interject here. There's this Dr. Murray Fowler. He is a veterinarian at the School of Veterinary Medicine in University of California, Davis, and he's been in the head of Sacramento Zoo and in the zoo industry for over 40 years. He said that when it comes to foot conditions in animals, and elephants, the main problems are lack of exercise, exists at Woodland Park Zoo, unsanitary conditions caused by long hours locked in barn, exists at Woodland Park Zoo, improper enclosure surfaces, exists at Woodland Park Zoo, hard compacted dirt outside, exists at Woodland Park Zoo, and excessive moisture. Well, we know about the moisture in Seattle. So they have all the Woodland Park Zoo has all the conditions that are ripe for problems with foot disease. And as I said, that's the number one reason elephants are euthanized. Zoo elephants are euthanized.
And I'm sure that the keepers, you know, try to do their best to take care of these animals. I don't have any doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But they simply can't compensate for, you know, the poor weather and the confinement and the lack of exercise, which is directly related to lack of space.
Yeah, and they talk about enrichment programs for the elephants. You know, they provide some toys here and there, and then they stuff their food in different places so they have to look for it and that sort of thing. But what you're saying, and what I totally agree with, is there's no way it compensates for the lack of space.
Like,
well, you know, they can hide their food in a ball or something, and that'll last about as long as it takes them to eat the meal. And then what happens after that?
Exactly.
It's just not. There's nothing they can do to adequately compensate for the poor conditions.
Friends of Woodland Park Zoo has done a public disclosure request from the zoo, and we see what the enrichment program is. It's putting ketchup on the top of the poles. It's spreading like a cereal on the ground so the elephants have to pick it up with their trunks.
Mm-hmm.
And from having gone to the zoo as many times as I have, I know where the hiding places are. And to imagine that this intelligent animal is stuck in a less than 1 acre pen for 30 years, 40 years, I mean, it gets pretty boring. This is not mental stimulation any longer.
Now, I wonder, Carolyn, the zoo, of
it's
course.
Catherine.
Or Catherine. Catherine, I'm sorry. We got Carol Buckley coming on later.
Right,
Catherine,
right,
so
yeah.
I'm combining the two of your names. I apologize. Catherine. The zoo, of course, would say that they're doing good work, that they are helping keep elephants on the planet, and that it's necessary for them to breed chai, and that it's a good thing. So can you address that? Is there any way that what they're doing is a good thing and keeping elephants on the planet?
Well, of course. I mean, everyone wants to keep elephants on the planet, I would hope, but you can't use conservation to justify keeping elephants in zoo conditions that cause them to suffer and die prematurely. It becomes absurd to say we're helping to save elephants when, you know, the elephants in zoos in the United States and Canada, you know, are dying prematurely. And they're suffering from these terrible, you know, terribly painful foot, you know, diseases, or foot disease rather, and, you know, arthritis. So no, again, it comes back to that you just, you know, if you're going to keep, the bottom line, I'll say for indefensive animals, you know, the bottom line for us is that if an animal is going to be kept, you know, wild animal's going to be kept in a zoo, that the zoo needs to be able to meet their physical, social, and psychological needs. And if you can't do that, you have no business keeping the animal. And that is
amen.
The case with them.
Yeah, right. I would also add that conservation.
Amen. Amen. Gary, get us some amen music.
I would also say that conservation is the preservation of animals and their habitat in their natural surroundings,
right,
not in a zoo. And Woodland Park's breeding program, if they ever do have a successful calf, that calf will never be released into the wild. And any research done on herpes will not help Asian elephants in the wild because it's not an issue for Asian elephants in the wild. And also, reproduction is a problem in captivity, but it's not a problem in the wild. So this research that's being done is self-serving for zoos. It's not helping the elephants in the wild, or minimally at best.
Yeah, well, and of course,
and
you know, I mean, any help
that they inspire people to contribute to conservation efforts, but they've done studies that show that simply isn't true. And we've had elephants in zoos for over 150 years. And they've never been more threatened, more endangered, more decimated than they are today. So obviously having elephants in zoos hasn't worked to achieve elephant conservation. So maybe it's time for us to try something different.
Well, now, also, and I'm going to interrupt just for a moment because we had a caller from New York wanting to know what we can do to help the elephants. And no worries, New York. We plan to cover that base. And that's where how we will wrap up today's show, will be everything that you guys can do to help. So if you're unable to stay with us, be sure you tune in to the archives on the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. And listen to the last hour, because probably the last half hour of the last hour we will be talking about what we can do to help, and it'll trickle in, but we will cover that base for sure. And now, Catherine, Woodland Park Zoo would also say to defend themselves that they feel that having elephants in the zoo so that people can see them eyeball to eyeball is worth everything else, because that helps people be more compassionate and et cetera. Do you think any of that flies?
Well, no, because, I mean, how is it more, you're teaching people to be more compassionate, you know, when the elephants that are on display before them, you know, are suffering. And, you know, I mean, it's just, again, you know, those kind of arguments always flabbergast me. Because certainly, again, I mean, I agree that, you know, true elephant conservation, you know, means saving elephants where they live. And also I would argue, I mean, I think what you're talking about more is the education kind of argument there. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that, I mean, you're never going to see a blue whale in captivity, but yet we care about blue whales and that they do continue to exist on this planet. I don't think that seeing an animal is necessary to instill compassion or instill concern, or for people to, you know, to take action on behalf of that animal.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So again, to me, that, you know, that argument falls apart, you know, right there, but.
Oh, a perfect example of this is the dinosaur. Kids are enamored with dinosaurs. They can't get enough about dinosaurs, and they learn about dinosaurs.
Last I checked, there were none walking around
last
on the planet.
Last I checked, there
are none.
None
at Woodland Park,
so
too.
I think that pretty much shows that you don't need to be face-to-face to learn. And also, this day and age, with the incredible shows we have on TV, Animal Planet and this new one, that's Life, I mean, that's how you learn about animals. That's how you see them, the way they act naturally, and you get excited about that. And of course, maybe we'll get to a discussion of what Woodland Park Zoo could do if they let their animals go, elephants go.
Yeah, I think, well, we're going to add Dr. Mel Richardson to mm-hmm. our discussion shortly. But before we do that, Sandy's got to get him on the phone. But before we do that, I wanted to ask Catherine about the complaint that's been filed, because as long as we've got you on mm-hmm. the air with us, we know that, you know, Chai has been artificially inseminated again.
Right. Yeah.
And her baby Hansa died of this herpes virus, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they're breeding again. Of course, they say they need to do this, but In Defense of Animals has filed a complaint. So can you fill us in on that?
Sure, definitely. In fact, we filed complaints against Woodland Park Zoo, as well as three other zoos in Houston, St. Louis, and Oklahoma City. And that was based on the fact that these zoos are all actively breeding. In fact, a couple of the zoos have pregnant elephants already. But what they're doing is bringing baby elephants into these situations where they have a very high risk of contracting this almost always fatal, you know, disease. And we're saying, in fact, we're asking the U.S. Department of Agriculture to find or to produce a policy statement that clarifies that, in fact, this would be a violation of the Federal Animal Welfare Act. And basically what we're saying within that as well is that, really, zoos are required to, as part of the Animal Welfare Act, to prevent and control disease. And the only surefire way right now, because, you know, so little is known about this virus, the only surefire way right now to prevent another animal, elephant, it mainly strikes Asian elephants under 7 years of age, the only way really to prevent this, another Asian elephant from contracting the disease is not to breed.
So there's no, so, I think we know that Watoto, the African elephant that's friends with Chai, the one that's been inseminated,
right,
is a carrier of this herpes.
Well, Watoto tested positive.
Tested positive
for the herpes virus in May of 2008.
Okay. Yeah. And then, of course, Chai, of course, was the mother of Hansa, so Chai's probably a carrier as well, and maybe Bamboo, too. Who knows?
Most likely all we know right now, again, so little is known about the virus that what we're seeing is we need to err on the side of caution. And what we, the one thing we do know for sure at Woodland Park Zoo is conditions have not changed. Same elephants are there. And so that means that that any elephant born into those conditions has the same chance as Hansa did of getting that virus. And dying from
So I'm wondering, we're going to introduce Dr. Mel Richardson here in just a moment, but I'm wondering, knowing that the herpes virus killed Hansa,
mm-hmm.
we've got elephants testing positive there. I think what you're telling us, I think, is that there's no way to prevent another baby from getting it, and if the baby gets it, there's no way to treat it.
Well, I would say if the baby does get it, what zoos do is they look for early signs of the disease, and the way that they're attacking it is then to start with antivirals, immediately upon seeing, even prophylactically, even if they think that's the case. If the elephant's lethargic, for example, or, even if they think that's the case, they're going to start treating and then hope that they're able to stop the disease if, in fact, the elephant does have it, or it does develop it. So, but we're also seeing last year in England, there were three calves who died from the virus, and one of those calves, now I don't know how, I have to say I don't know how soon they'd begun, treatment, but I know they used similar treatments that were used for a calf at the St. Louis Zoo last year who did survive the virus.
Wow. So,
yeah,
so with
there's no guarantee, basically. Like I said, this is, little known about the disease, and certainly, again, that's why we are urging, zoos to err on the side of caution and not subject innocent baby elephants potentially to a horrific death.
Oh, it's a terrible death. Woodland Park Zoo portrayed Hansa's dying a peaceful death. It was anything but. It was horrible. Just horrible.
Did you actually witness some stuff, Aline?
No,
Are you and Nancy go out there all the time?
Nancy could probably describe the type of death better than I.
I reviewed the medical records, and the necropsy report makes it very clear that she died a gruesome death.
Mm.
It attacked the blood vessels, and you can imagine how painful that would be. And it caused hemorrhaging throughout the body.
Before we go into more detail about that, let's get our veterinarian on board because he's patiently waiting in the background. We already have Aline Fortgang here, friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. We've got Nancy Farnham, who's also involved in that effort, and director of Sound Animal Rights. We've got Catherine Doyle from Defense of Animals, who is in charge of their elephant stuff. And now we are going to add to the mix Dr. Mel Richardson, a veterinarian who actually was a former Woodland Park Zoo veterinarian. So he certainly has information to add. So good. See you in line three, Gary. Dr. Mel Richardson, good morning. Whoops.
Good morning.
Welcome to Animal World.
Thank you. It's good to be back in Seattle, even if it's only over the airway.
So where are we talking to you from?
I live in Paradise. I live in Paradise, California, right
now. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So real Paradise.
Yeah, well, it is to my wife and I, and it's up into Sierra, the northern California, about an hour and a half north of Sacramento, up into Sierra. So it's a beautiful place.
All right. Now, when were you a veterinarian at Woodland Park Zoo?
I was there from about March of 89 until December of 91. And then when I left there, I went to be the zoo vet at San Antonio Zoo, and I was there until I did a couple of other things, which involved going to Africa and working with some of the animals there, and then I retired from the zoo business.
Well, we have you've heard everyone that we have with us here today, and we have been, of course, talking about the plight of elephants in zoos, and particularly the elephants here at Woodland Park Zoo. So we'd gotten into the discussion about the artificial insemination of Chai that has recently happened again, and the death of Hansa and this herpes virus. So as a veterinarian, what can you add to this discussion with us?
I'll start it by saying that number one, I'm not a specialist on that particular subject by any means. I've got about 40 years experience working with captive animals. I met my first elephant when I was 19.
Wow.
As a keeper at the Atlanta Zoo. Mm. And that's when I realized elephants were pretty special creatures, as all of the elephant animals at the zoo are. But the problem, I think, and I think Catherine explained it very well, is that it's an unknown. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know there's a chance what could happen is the same thing that happened with Hansa. And I think that, to me, is the problem with doing what they're doing again. And the fact that, 40 years ago, I was being told, we keep these elephants here so that we can help elephants in the wild and conservation. And it's just not happening. We as a human population, continues to grow. And right now in Africa, especially, and in India as well, they're losing more and more space. Now the zoos will, the people that like to do the viral work and do the testing will actually tell you that's one of the reasons they need to research, herpes is because essentially, what's going to happen in the wild is we're going to have these isolated populations of elephants that are, for all practical purposes, be in a more stressful situation by having less space. Because Martha, you hit it on the head. I mean, these animals need the space to do what they need to do to be elephants. They need not just flat concrete space. They need up and down. They need places to throw dirt on themselves.
Yeah.
The animals, the biggest problem, the staff at this Woodland Park Zoo, I think, are doing an excellent job, as good a job as can be done. But yeah, those elephants continue to have problems because of the climate they're in and the facility they're in.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I'm certainly not an expert in any way, shape, or form. But my bottom line is, it doesn't matter how great a job they're doing at Woodland Park. They cannot change the fact that they don't have enough space and they're not in the right climate.
What a lot of people don't understand about this foot disease that elephants have that they need to are that imagine that you've got extra skin accumulating on your feet. And the way we're going to treat it is we're actually going to clean your feet and then we're going to cut it off. We're going to peel it off. And then when we do that, we find that you've got, it looks like there's a tract that may be a little abscess for me. So we're going to take out that abscess. And what we're going to do is we're going to cut it out.
Wait. Let's go back here. Now, elephant grow extra skin on their feet?
If they don't, in the wild, they walk all the time.
Right.
All the time. If you walk all the time, you grow extra skin on your feet if you keep a pair of shoes on them all the time and you don't bathe them. And you don't, I mean, that's
why
they make
the
little...
Well, I guess that's right. We have to use all the pumice and the files and all that stuff.
There you go.
File
exactly.
The cows. So that happens to a much greater extent for elephants because they're designed to walk forever and ever. So
right. So
that stuff has to be worn off their feet, and that is done naturally when they walk. So
exactly.
I get it now. So in the zoos, they don't walk. So when you're describing this scraping it off and all that crap,
right. That's
what they do every day when they bring the elephants in and work on their feet, huh?
Right. And when the elephants are walking on a natural substrate in the wild, they're walking and they dig up tussocks of grass. They'll take their feet and kick it and actually pull it between their toes, so to speak. So you don't have to take care of the cuticles either. But in zoos and in circuses, you've got to trim those cuticles because they'll overgrow. And the reason they're overgrowing is because they're not allowed to bathe with dirt. Elephants need to be in dirt. It's that simple. You know, and they need to be in it 100% of the time. They don't need to be in it. And unfortunately, in northern climate zoos where they have to be locked inside for long periods of time, it becomes a big issue. And if the herpes thing, remember, seems to be even, we can say that Asians have herpes, if Africans have herpes, and they do. But, nature put a continent between those two species, and they evolved differently and separately. And that's what's happened is almost everyone agrees, not everyone, that the African herpes virus jumped into the elephants. And that's what's causing the problem. And that problem was caused by man by mixing the two groups of elephants, the two separate species.
That's a very good point, because well, we talked about that earlier. Africa and Asia are two completely different continents.
Right.
But we've got both African and Asian elephants in, you know, less than an acre at Woodland Park.
And that's
right.
A zoo.
And you've got two of them that don't even get along. Bamboo and Watoto have never been friends with each other. So it requires them separating those two, which limits the space because you've got a pair that's not getting along, so you've got to make sure they don't interact. So that limits the amount of, that's actually effectively makes a smaller space.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, I'm going to ask now, all of you okay staying with us for a while longer? I know, Mel, you can stay. Catherine,
yeah.
are you okay to stay?
I'm good, yeah.
Okay, Nancy, you feeling
I'm
okay?
I'm fine.
Nancy's
yes.
home with strep throat, by the way, so she's
been
a real trooper here. All right, and Aline can't go anywhere because we got to strap down in the studio here. So stay with us. We're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Remember, it's the most important part of the show because without them, there's no us. So pay attention, support our advertisers and sponsors. When we return, ordinarily it would be time for current events, but I'm going to make an executive decision because there's only one new item on current events, and that's the adoption event happening today. The rest you can get at MarthaNorwalk.com and click on current events. So I'll just remind you of the happening today event and we'll get right back to the elephants. And now, before we go to advertisers and sponsors, guess what time it is? Sandy's pulling up to the phones. She is in the saddle, ready to go. It is time for the Robin Alexis Soul Spa giveaway. Remember, you must be a new member, and you must have your username and password at www.robinalexis.com to qualify. So here are the numbers. It's time to call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, and toll-free is 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. So pick up your phones, give Sandy a call, and see if you qualify to win a one-year free subscription to Robin Alexis Soul Spa. Advertisers and sponsors are next, and then it's back to the elephants. Stay with us. Animal World continues until noon right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home-cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff? Well, that's why Designing Health created The Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole natural raw food sources. They've figured out a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in The Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it up, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. Now, The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs. There's one for cats. There is a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters as well, like guinea pigs, hamsters, house rabbits, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula. There's also a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for The Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387. Or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Hi, I'm Dawn Stansfield, and I would like to invite you to listen to my show live Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. as my guests and I explore and discuss the values of spirituality and how it can create our overall wealth within our lives. Tune in and listen live to the Dawn Stansfield Show Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, transforming your life and the lives of your animals. To learn more about animal health and well-being, go to NWSAM.com and check Pet Shop Talk. And for more information about animal massage classes or Reiki classes, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
This life, you're becoming my mother.
I know I am. I think I am your mother.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
So you're saying that he's been married twice before this woman?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
I see you getting married in 3 years.
Oh, my God.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KTNW.
For over a decade, In Clover has made quality natural supplements so that age 10 may become the new 6 for your dog or cat, living a vibrant, active, healthy life. In Clover uses the best of science to design supplements for wellness that work and work fast. Dogs showed significant improvement within 15 days of starting Connectin. In Clover's fast, all-in-one joint supplement. Connectin's 9 natural herbs work synergistically to further support joint health. In Clover's products are made in the USA with only the finest ingredients. Go to inclover.com to find a retailer near you.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. And she's created the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. Come to her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get a free month subscription to her online soul spa. Robin invites you to share your comments and metaphysical experiences on her forum and blog. And she invites you to take advantage of the free month subscription to her online soul spa at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medium, medical intuitive, and healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993. Or you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Click the shows page on 1150kknw.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and boy, we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition, but we're here till noon, as we are every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, before we get back to the elephants, just a couple of quick things. First of all, we have no qualifiers yet for RobinAlexis.com Soul Spa giveaway. It is a one-year free subscription. It is a $300 value. So if you thought you had missed out timing-wise, get to www.RobinAlexis.com. Sign up for the free newsletter so you get a username and password. Give us a call. First caller before noon that qualifies gets that free year's subscription. So give us a call at 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. All right, as promised, we are going to do a very, very quick current events. I thought we needed the Jingle Cats to lighten us up a little bit here. And on the current event schedule, for the whole schedule, go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events. There's a ton of stuff there for you. And you get to see my picture with Freedom the Eagle. And let's see, today, if you're looking to add a dog to your family, the annual Lucky Dog Adoption Event is today from noon to 3 p.m. at the Academy of Canine Behavior out in Bothell. Their address is 4705 240th Southeast, right off 405 at the 405-522 interchange. Now, there will be dogs and puppies from 9 different shelters from all over the state. They've all been temperament tested and vaccinated and chipped and spayed and neutered and all of that. And there will be plenty of adoption counselors there to help you decide which dog would be a perfect family companion for your home. So if you can give a forever home to a dog or puppy, get out to the Academy of Canine Behavior from noon to 3 today. And more information at www.positivealliance.org. That's P-A-W-S, positivealliance.org. All right, that's going to do it for current events. Let's get back to all of our guests. We've got Aline Fortgang, founder of Woodland Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, is in the studio with us. Nancy Farnham, a registered nurse and director of Sound Animal Rights locally here in Puget Sound area, is on the phone with us. Catherine Doyle, animal expert from In Defense of Animals, is on the line with us, along with Dr. Mel Richardson, former Woodland Park Zoo veterinarian. Welcome back, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, there we go.
I'm here.
I was wondering that second or two where there's silence, you know? Okay, this live radio. Did we lose everybody?
It's like being in an elevator, huh?
Yeah. So kind of bottom line, Dr. Mel, is there any way that Woodland Park Zoo could do an adequate job with elephants?
Well, with global warming, maybe the climate's going to change enough in the Puget Sound area that it would be an adequate a climate for them. That's the one thing they can't do anything about. They can't, with their social situation with those elephants now, the only way to do anything about that is that, you know, if they were only going to do one thing, I would move Watoto to a sanctuary. If I was going to, that one thing will give them, number one, more space, and it will allow them to be able to have a little bit more of a social grouping there.
Oh, okay. So if it was your call, you'd you'd move Watoto out to the sanctuary. Because that means, because Bamboo and Chai could be out together, so they wouldn't have to be separated.
Right. They are out together now at times. It's just that they can't all three be out together. So, and Watoto needs to be with African elephants. She just needs to be. They're really different. African elephants have been moved into sanctuaries, and I've worked with, I was a full-time veterinarian at the Paws Sanctuary here in California for a year, and I still consult with them and still do work with them on other issues. And I've been to the elephant sanctuary in Tennessee twice.
They're coming up in this next hour, do you like the sanctuary?
Absolutely. I mean, and people have asked me, well, how come you didn't say anything back in the, you know, when you were a zoo vet, how come you weren't, you know, proposing to get them out of zoos then? Well, where were they going to go? At that point in time, in 95, when the elephant sanctuary was founded, that's the first time there became an alternative. And now we have two sanctuaries, and so we have an alternative. I've actually said this in public, that if the AZA would set up a sanctuary, and I mean a real sanctuary, not a breeding facility, and put it in an appropriate climate, then I'll stand up and support sending those elephants, all the AZA elephants, to that sanctuary. Because in a non-breeding facility, a sanctuary is a place where an animal can go and find comfort for the rest of its life. You know, and you give them that security to know that they're not going to be moved again. And that they're going to be able to have friends, and elephant friends, not people friends, and stay with them.
All right. Now, you keep saying non-breeding, Dr. Mel. And yet, of course, the Woodland Park people would tell us that they believe that they're helping keeping animals on the planet, or elephants on the planet, and they're somehow serving a higher purpose by breeding. Now, in your opinion, is there any reason for the zoos to be breeding elephants?
No, there's not.
Bottom line is no.
There's just too many problems with them in the wild. And if we keep breeding elephants, where are they going to go? Well, guess where the little boy elephants go? The little boy elephants end up being locked away by the time they're 13 years old because they can't handle a bull elephant to be in a social grouping in any zoo. So they end up having to be moved off by itself until it's ready to breed again and then move it in. They get locked away in isolation, basically, where in the wild they would be in a bachelor group. The Paw Sanctuary is actually trying to set up a bull sanctuary. In fact, they have one bull elephant there, and they're the only place that a bull can go. And they've dedicated a space to actually try to set up that situation where these boy elephants can go somewhere.
Well, and that brings up another one. We had Upchurch, and I can't remember who else we had. Was it Nancy Hawks or Sandy? Was in the studio with. I can't remember. Anyway, what they were saying was that they could expand the elephant area a little bit. I think you, Aline, you know, behind the barn.
Right.
But rather than expand there and give the current elephants more space, what they wanted to do was expand that area but keep it separate so they could put their own bull elephant there. And that bull elephant would be isolated in that area, but then they'd have their own breeder right there at Woodland Park.
Right.
Now, to me, that just smacks of making it worse, putting another elephant in an area that's already too small, and we can never make that any better. And Dr. Mel, you just said it. Bottom line, you can't think of any good reason serving any higher purpose for any zoos to be breeding elephants, let alone Woodland.
Right, and the educational, the zoos have long espoused, I myself did, that the animals are there because they're ambassadors for their wild cousins. Well, you know, the reality of what I found out is I thought as a zoo veterinarian, boy, this is going to be slick. I can actually prevent disease in this situation. Where working in private practice, that's harder to do because when the animal leaves your office, you don't see it again.
Right. So